Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. The Bigger Picture, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. Welcome to The Bigger Picture. And today is all about UOB's bank earnings, which just came out this morning. And it's the first one off the blocks. And it is showing strong earnings in the first quarter as high interest rates boosts its profit margins, even as the CEO flags growing concerns over global growth following the bank crises we saw in the US and Europe. So let's look at the numbers. The core net profit for UOB stood at $1.6 billion last quarter. That's up 74% year-on-year. This excludes one-off expenses related to its acquisition of Citigroup's Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam assets. If we factor that in, net profit would be at $1.5 billion, which represents a 67% increase. The latest set of results translates to earnings per share of $3.54 for the quarter. That's up from $3.14 in the first quarter and also up $2.13 in the previous quarter. So that's the latest set of numbers. Let's dive into it with Glenn Tam. He is the research analyst for Phillips Securities Research. Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Ryan. Nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Now, let's talk about what the numbers mean. Okay, let's start with your overview first. Expectations versus what we got. What is your first impressions?
Yep, so the expectations were slightly higher than what we expected. It was a little bit higher than the consensus estimates. I think it mainly came from very high net interest income growth of about 43%. And this was on the back of net interest margins growth of around 56 basis points to 2.14%. And I think one of the other key highlights was also their other income growth surge of 457% year-on-year, and as well as lower allowances of around 5% less year-on-year. And I think one of the big highlights would be the reversal of the net fee income. So if you had known in the previous few quarters, fee income was declining steadily. But we can see, while it declined, continued to decline this quarter, it was a much smaller decline of 4% year-on-year. And quarter-on-quarter, you can see a growth of 14%. So I think we are starting to see this fee income recovery in the start of 2023.
Yeah, Glenn, let's dive into the net interest margins. As you pointed out, 43% rise there because, or net interest income up 43% based on the uplift from net interest margins. So where does it go from here? Because we keep hearing about the Fed potentially having to hike more, but possibly slowing down the pace of those rate hikes. What does this mean for future profitability for the bank?
Yeah, so we do also assume that the rate hike will start to peter off in the second half of the year. But if you look at the recent figures for the Singapore interest rates, you can see that the SORA has continued to rise while the Fed funds rates have sort of flattened. So we do expect that there's still a sort of a lag for the Singapore interest rates, and they should still continue to pick up at least for the rest of the first half of the year. So we should continue to expect that the NIM growth would continue for the rest of the first half, but it was thought of flattened going into the second half. So we should still be looking at record growth for NIMs, but not as high as it was for the previous year.
And as these interest rates go up, it also has to pay interest rates that are higher for deposits. How much will that affect them?
Yes, so I think you're referring to the cost of funds. Yeah, we should definitely see that the cost of funds will start to creep up. So going into the second half, I think this would affect the banks more. First half, I think we still see that the net interest margins growth is pretty healthy. But going to the second half, I think we should start to see this margins sort of getting smaller. Mm. But, you know, I think it's not much of a worry because the net interest margins will still be at a record high for the bank. So they should still be earning a good margin from the deposits.
Yeah. And part of the equation also is the loans growth picture. And you've got a couple of things to look out for, I guess. You've got talk about recession. And then this morning in the headlines, you've got the ABESD going up. So from 17 to 20% if you're buying a second property. If you're a foreigner, it goes from 30 to 60%, double. How much would that put the cap on property borrowing, for example, and also for other businesses? Will they be borrowing as much as before?
Yeah, I think it's also quite, this is shown. I mean, in the latest few months of data that we have, we can see that loans growth for Singapore, at least, it's starting to decline, and we are starting to see negative figures, which we haven't seen in quite a while. And if you look at UOB's figures as well, you can see that for the first quarter, at least, they showed a decline of 1%. But the banks are still confident, I think, of getting their mid-single digit. But I mean, we might have to see a low single digit loans growth for the rest of the year.
Okay, when it comes to potential bad loans, we've seen the US banks setting aside more money. Are you expecting the local banks here to also be more mindful of, souring of loans and setting aside more allowances for that?
Yeah, that was a possibility. But I mean, Singapore banks are usually more prudent in that sense. So we actually see them setting aside quite a lot of allowances in the past few quarters. So I think they have mentioned previously in the previous briefings that, you know, they are taking a more prudent stance. So we might not see such a sharp rise in allowances.
All right, we're in conversation with Glenn Tom. He is a research analyst at Flip Securities Research. Now, Glenn, looking at what his CEO is flagging, it is worth noting he talks about the concerns around global growth following banking crises in the US and Europe. How much of that is on your radar when it comes to affecting Singapore and the banks here?
Yeah, so Singapore is we are very dependent on whatever's happening globally. So definitely that is one of our main highlights that we always look for. And whatever happens affects Singapore. So I guess that's definitely a good point that he has brought up.
And also the other point he brings up is the Citigroup integration. He says that is progressing well. How much upside is there still to be factored in from his purchase of Citigroup's assets in Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand and Vietnam?
Yeah, we haven't really seen it sort of go into the bottom line yet, but we do expect that this will continue to boost their earnings, at least, you know, into the later part of 2023, and definitely we will see the full upside in 2024.
Okay, so that's to come and something to look out for. So let's wrap things up, Glenn, with your view on the stock right now. How attractive is the stock based on its current valuations to you?
Yeah, I think UOB remains very it remains positive because due to their continued NIM and net interest income improvement, as well as the fee income recovery, which will be sure to come in the remaining of 2023.
All right. Year to date is down 4.6%, trading around $29.26. So that's the latest on UOB. And we've been breaking down its first quarter numbers with Glenn Tom. He is the research analyst for Philip Securities Research. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Glenn.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Ryan.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.